Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello there and welcome along to this racing postcast. It is the 5th of April. Hope you're having a wonderful, Easter. I'm Maddie Plough. I'm joined this week by James Hill, Lee Mottershead and our usual Paddy Power representative, Graham Byrne. Now, what's coming up? Well, there's been some huge news stories breaking over the last couple of days. The number one, obviously, is that Richard Johnson has retired from the saddle. We're going to talk all about a wonderful career that he's had, one of the most successful jump jockeys of all time, of course, as well as the Jockeys Championship. Harry Skelton and Brian Hughes are battling it out. We'll see what the lads think of that. Also, some talk on syndicates. I want to quiz Leon, and we'll also look back on Haydock and Fairy House, as well as looking forward to Aintree, which is coming up very soon, and we'll get some Grand National selections for you as well. So looking forward to this one, guys. First off, let's talk about Richard Johnson, because it just seems to me like so many people want to wish him well. You know, it's been an incredible career. As I say, the second most successful jump jockey of all time, 3,819 winners. So if McCoy wasn't around, we would be treating Richard Johnson as, you know, the all-time great. But Lee, I think a real hallmark of the tribute has been how everyone has been wishing to say what a great person he is as well.
I think you would struggle to find anybody who has got anything negative at all to say about Richard Johnson, Maddie. I wrote a piece that went in on Sunday, an appreciation of him. And again, it was basically making the point that he has been the ultimate professional, the ultimate ambassador, the ultimate role model for the sport. I think when you look at him, you look at someone who, for those 16 seasons, he was second to AP in the Jockeys Championship. And it's not so much for me that he kept coming back year after year after year and giving his all to beat McCoy. It was, I think, the fact that he gave so many interviews where people like me would ask him the same question about this constant silver medal spot behind AP McCoy, and he never once seemed to get knocked by having to talk about the same thing. He always spoke respectfully about AP McCoy. He always made clear that he wanted this desperately. He never tried to hide how much he wanted to be champion jockey. And I think the fact that he was able to do that for four consecutive seasons, I think was a wonderful thing. He is very, to an extent, he's unlucky. He's the flying bolt who existed at the same time as Arkell. But for McCoy, he'd be the number one jockey in history. But although he is the number two in that all-time list, again, I think he is unsurpassed in other levels. McCoy beat him in terms of numbers, but nobody would have beaten, I say, Richard Johnson in that competition stage, competition of being the ultimate professional, the ultimate ambassador. Never a bad word about anybody. The mere fact that when he won the Gold Cup on Native River, a horse who was absolutely made for him, and who he matched in terms of courage and commitment. After that race, he was very self-critical about having received a whip ban, and he was desperately disappointed that he picked a whip ban because he knew his responsibility to the sport. And I would argue he lived up to that responsibility. He was, say, the model professional, and he deserves a very happy second life, if you like, now out of the saddle.
Indeed, and a really decorated career it was as well. You mentioned Native River, also won the Gold Cup aboard Looks Like Trouble. He's won Champion Hurdle, Champion Chase. Jimmy, what's a ride that stands out for you? Because he had that sort of style, didn't he? That real gritty determination. If you saw him in a finish, he'd had that grimace on his face. And he was just formidable, wasn't he, in the closing stages of any race?
Yeah, he certainly was, Mads. I mean, I think his ride on Flagship Iberalis when he won the Champion Chase would be the one that I remember most. I mean, it was not a great Champion Chase. It was a race that Flagship really had to win. But in the end, it took all of Richard Johnson's riding skills and extraordinary resilience to get him up. And there's that head-on picture, I think, almost iconic head-on picture of, Johnson absolutely exhausted as he crossed the line. He just absolutely had given everything. And it was a wonderful ride. And I also enjoyed all the rides he gave on Native River, really. I mean, the two of them were just made for each other. Native River, such a warrior of a horse. And Richard Johnson just would throw him at his fences. They were just a wonderful sight to watch.
A wonderful man as well, and he will be much, much missed. But we hope he has a wonderful, as Lee says, second life. And I'm sure he's going to be involved in the game still with regards to bloodstock. But his family's going to come first now. And that's wonderful after all the sacrifices he's made in the name of the sport. Now, Richard Johnson, he was a four-time Jockeys Championship winner. What about this year's race? Because it's really hotting up with Harry Skelton and Brian Hughes. Even Harry Cobden, he's fallen away a little bit now, but he's still not totally out of it. Graham, could we have some betting on the current heat, please?
Yeah, it's an interesting market after a shock retirement from Richard Johnson. Really, just to add to what the lads were saying, it was a big bolt from the blue when he retired. My favourite ride from my memory of him would be, I was at the Grand National in 2002 when I backed What's Up Boys, and it was just before the elbow when he came up, and I thought he was going to win, but Bindery swept by him, and unfortunately the big race seemed to elude him. But going back to the betting, Harry Skelton is our new favourite now. He is 4-6. Brian Hughes 11-10. You'd imagine he'd be mopping them up on the Northern Circuit. So it looks like it's between those two. Harry Cobden, as you said, Nichols could unleash some big winners, of course, coming up over the last few weeks or so of the season. He's a 25-1 shot. So with Skelton 4-6, Brian Hughes 11-10, it looks like it's a toss of the coin for this.
Yeah, Aintree, that begins on Thursday, and that's going to have a big bearing, you'd have to think, with Skelton firing lots of horses there, and even Brian Hughes, he's going to presumably ride waiting patiently as well. Lee, what's your view on that?
I'm not sure the festival will have a massive impact in the same way that Cheltenham does, because those two meters are so competitive. It's actually very hard to ride winners there. You know, if Brian Hughes goes to Sefton on a Tuesday, he could mop up four or five winners. And the same with Harry Skelton at Southwell. I think in Aintree, if either jockey comes away with one or two, they'll probably be, you know, delighted and then move into the final few weeks of the season. The momentum is clearly behind Harry Skelton. And I think he will be champion jockey. And in many ways, I think he tells the story of a lot of jockeys, in the sense that after Harry Skelton pretty much stopped riding for Paul Nichols, that Ditchett Academy is so competitive for jockeys, and it's so hard to have a consistent foothold there because there is such competition for rides. After he lost his position there, he was really in the doldrums, in the sense he wasn't riding many winners. He was struggling for mounts. And then his brother comes along, Dan Skelton. They forged this great team. And Harry Skelton has showed what he can do. And I think there will be a lot of jockeys who would be in that same position. You know, you need the ammunition to win races. And Harry has shown what he can do with that ammunition. They're a great story. They're a great family. And I think this is probably going to be his season.
He's had a real sort of breakthrough year, hasn't he, him and Dan? They've had some wonderful winners, you know, the likes of Shan Blue, etc., who've just been fantastic for them. They seem to regularly be picking up these big wins, and their horses just seem so consistent. Jimmy, I mean, would you be with Lee? Do you think Skelton's got the upper hand for now?
Yes, I agree. I think Harry Skelton's going to win it. Yes, Brian Hughes has got some of those northern rides, which will certainly keep him in the hunt right until the very end, I would think. It's going to be very interesting. But the Skelton Yard has got such firepower. I'd say Harry Skelton deserves it, Mads. I mean, he's ridden really well all season. Lots of big winners. And I'd say him and Dan, they're the absolute coming force at the moment in British jump racing. What they've achieved this winter is remarkable. And it looks like they've got more to come over the next few weeks.
And we need them, don't we, in Britain? We need that sort of emerging force. And they're both so aggressive and ambitious. And I really love that. I think that's fantastic for the coming seasons. Now, let's have a talk about Haydock. They had their series final race day on Saturday. Wasn't the highest of quality, but I think we did see some really good performances. The likes of Five Star Getaway, he looks a real improver. Vision Depoy, she looked a Scottish champion hurdle horse in the making to me. And Small Present put up a really good performance when winning the Stayers Hurdle Series final as well. So what was the highlight for you, Jimmy? Because some good nuggets to be found on the card, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, Five Star Getaway again was pretty impressive, wasn't he? He really is improving hand over fist. I think it's nearly 2 stone he's gone up since he won his winning run began in February. I should think we'll probably see him again before the season's out. Hopefully somewhere at Cheltenham at the April meeting. That would be interesting if he was able to get a run in one of those races there, because he could be the type of horse for the Paddy Power Gold Cup next season if he keeps on improving.
Yeah, he's one of those horses who you think could fit into a whole range of targets. He just looks that impressive and jumps very cleanly as well. Lee Haydock, what was your sort of main takeaway point?
Yeah, I'd mentioned the same horses, really, Matt. I mean, 5-star Getaway, it's interesting. It's a horse that Christian Williams made clear after the race how they had always held the horse in very high regard. But I think it's also clear that the horse has been campaigned extremely shrewdly. If you think, you know, he was pretty much unsighted in races over hurdles. He ran behind All Mankind at Warwick as a 300-1 shot earlier in the season. He was campaigned in good races, I think, where he was likely to finish well down the pack and therefore enter handicapping off a different mark. He's now won quite a few handicaps. He'll probably win some more. I think he very much embodies Christian Williams as a trainer so far. Very shrewd trainer who can do the job. And the horse you mentioned, Vision de Queen, yeah, I think she was really impressive in that handicap hurdle. Showed a tremendous turn of foot. She's clearly progressing rapidly. Like you, I think the Scottish Champion hurdle would be a very interesting target for her, given the speed that she's got. You'd imagine Air would be a good track for her. I suppose that the only question mark there would be how good a Scottish Champion hurdle it is, in the sense that if you happen to get a horse rated in the high 150s or 160s, she'd probably be out the handicap and limited handicap. So I think Dan will be hoping that none of the Champion hurdle class horses turn up in that race, but she's clearly got a good race in her. Another good race in there, because that Haydock race was a valuable prize.
Yeah, indeed. And we couldn't move on without mentioning Snuffbox. I mean, this is one of the most remarkable wins I've ever seen, Graham. Traded at 999-1 in running, made a horrific mistake down the back, came detached, and then just stayed on to win again. I'm not really sure how it happened.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable, isn't it, Snuffbox? Charlie Deutsch seems to be a master at this, dropping a horse at the back and then timing it to perfection to get it up. Feel sorry for the people who got the fingers burnt. 999-1, I think £281 was matched at that. So some people seriously got some damage done to them over that one. 5-star Getaway, going back to that one, Christian Williams, he was leaving the options open, I think, at the fight, a £15 hike for its last win. And he wasn't exactly pinpointing anywhere. He said Punchestown's a possibility, Sandown, there's a race there, Bet365, Gold Cup Day, and he also mentioned Air as well. So there's plenty of options open for 5-star Getaway. And finally at Musselburgh as well, let's not forget Mark Johnson, 1,900-1 four-timer for Mark Johnson there.
Yeah, indeed. And you've got some betting for the Jockeys Flat Championship.
Yeah, the big move has been for Ben Curtis. He's striking up this new alliance with Mark Johnson, and he is into 4-1. But it's very tight. It's a very interesting field. Oisin Murphy, the one they all have to beat, he's 2-1. William Buick, he had a great season last year, he's 5-2. Holly Doyle will be hugely popular, 4-1. Ben Curtis, as we mentioned, this new alliance he's striking up with Mark Johnson, he is into 4-1. Tom Marcond is 5-1. And Sylvester D'Souza, 16-1, 25-1 bar. So that is the Flat Jockeys Championship. It looks wide open this year.
Thanks very much, Graham. Now, the Fairy House Festival is underway. We have the Irish Grand National later on today, so we'll try and get you some quick fancies for that. We'll just have a look back on what already happened, though, after this.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's focus on yesterday then, first off, because there were some really notable performances and some really important successes as well. Let's start off with Echoes in Rain, who won the Grade 2 over 2 miles, the novice hurdle. She's a mare that had shown ability, but not quite perhaps the indication that she might go and do something like this. And Graham, I think she's been a market mover in a couple of anti-post markets, hasn't she, on the back of this?
Yeah, absolutely. She has. It was a very impressive performance. Willie Mullen said that she didn't send her to Cheltenham. He was worried she wouldn't settle over there. She certainly settled in that one. She landed quite a few bets for Willie Mullins. And that was a 2-1 winning performance for that one. He has said that she will be going to Punchestown next. We're definitely going to see Echoes in Rain at Punchestown. That will be her next assignment.
Fantastic. And what about Sky Ace? I mean, that's the main performance that we have to talk about from yesterday. She won the Mayor's Novice Hurdle, the championship final, the grade one for Jody McGarvey. What a fantastic day it was for him. More of that in just a second, Lee. But the Connections bought this horse for £800 out of Willie Mullins's yard. And she ran a cracking fourth at the Cheltenham Festival in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle last time and has just been relentless, really. What a joy she must be to own.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Maddie, even less, 600 quid, I think.
Fantastic.
Ascot in 2019. And she must have gone to that sale with, a bit like me, I've had hay fever for a week. She must have gone there, you know, with something similar, sneezing her head off, because, you know, she'd finished third in a couple of bumpers. She wasn't, you know, she didn't go in there with desperate form. So to go for 600 quid, you know, I don't know what was wrong with her on the day, but they got a heck of a bargain. And since then, yeah, I mean, it's a tremendous story. I mean, what makes the story even better is how confident the trainer, Shark Hanlon, was in his pre-race quotes. He said she'd done such a piece of work that he suggested to the owners in Dubai that they had to have on her what they wanted, and she was a certainty. And he said as much in the pre-race quotes in the Racing Post. And, you know, my word, he was proved right.
He was, wasn't he? Couldn't we all just live that dream? It would be fantastic, wouldn't it? £600, my word. I wonder what she'll go on to do next season, Lee. Any ideas?
Well, I mean, I imagine that, you know, there's such a good, strong mares programme available to horses in Ireland and Britain, and probably even more so in Ireland than Britain. There'll be lots of races. I mean, she still doesn't have a rating up there with the best novices this season. You know, we shouldn't be getting too carried away. You know, she was fourth at Cheltenham. She's not an absolute superstar yet, but she's getting better and better. And whatever happens, she's a 600 quid purchase who's now got grade one black type. So, you know, they could sell her now, and they would get an awful lot more than 600 quid.
They certainly would. Now, interestingly, Robbie Powell was in the Monday jury today, and he said that Ashdale Bob, who won the other grade two novice hurdle, will make a fantastic chaser. So you'd have to think that's where he's going to go. He's bounced back after a couple of below par performances. But I really like this horse, Jimmy. I think he's really gritty. I think he's a real strong stayer, and I think he will make a really good chaser. It'd be interesting to see how he fits in next season.
Yeah, no, he's a real tough, stout sort, isn't he, Mads? I would think chasing will be his game. He looks a real stayer as well. Maybe end up in something like the National Hunt Chase at the festival next season. The one I really like out of that race didn't really show his best, but I do think Gentleman's Game could be a future star for Maurice Morris. I really, really liked him when he finished second to Gaelar Dumanil at the Dublin Racing Festival. I think he's much better than he showed at Fairy House. And I can't wait till he jumps the fence. He's only a 5-year-old, but I think there's a lot more to come from him.
He's been campaigned like they know he's a good horse, hasn't he? The fact that they chose to miss Cheltenham with him, they're clearly minding him. Yeah. Now, back to the grade one action, Janadil. Again, a horse who perhaps lost his way mid-season a little bit, had that fall behind Monkfish at Leopardstown, but he bounced back in exciting fashion to win the Gold Cup Novice Chase for, again, Jody McGarvey. So a big double for him in two grade ones a day. He certainly won't forget. And this was a real step back in the right direction, Lee.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was an excellent effort. We need to say it wasn't a particularly good running of this grade one novice chase. Sometimes it produces, you know, really high class fields. And this season, with an Ergamen staying at home and a few others waiting for Punchestown, it wasn't a particularly hot contest. But you had to love the way that Janadil did it. He had got form at Fairy House in the past on a decent handicap hurdle there. But went into the race with a rating of 148. So that puts into context that this wasn't A virtuoso winner of a virtuoso race. Asterion Falange was a bit disappointing. I'm not sure Franco de Porto ran up to his best either. But heck, he's a grade one winner. And Willie Mullins, a 1-2-3 in a grade one. He's had worse seasons.
He has, hasn't he? And who knows, he could be winning the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National later on today. Hopefully we'll get this podcast out to you before that race is off. So we might as well try and get some last minute tips from our guys for you now. Graham, can you go through the betting for us? There's been some notable non-runners.
Yeah, there has been non-runners. The big dog is the latest one to be pulled out, but its latest exhibition, fascinating runner, can it lump a big 11-stone-10, the top weight around? That is the favourite now at 9-2 from Augusta Gold. That seems to be the one where the Willie Mullins camp have decided on. That is into 8-1. Run Wild Fred, fascinating runner, 9-1. Brace Yourself's been a market mover for Noel Mead and Sean Flanagan into 12-1 with Cocoa Beach, the Tiestes winner, also 12-1. And my tip, who I put up last week, I'm going to keep on the same side as this one, Espinita Bello for Barry Connell, Mac Bulger. 12-1 about that one, and it is 14-1 bar, but it's 5 o'clock today. It is, of course, the Irish Grand National. What a race it promises to be.
Yeah, some interesting market moves. Danny Mullins now on Augusta Gold for Willie Sempo. He's been a massive drifter, hasn't he? Quite like the look of a couple of big prices. Brace Yourself, I think he'll run well. The market spoke in his favour, and Eurobot as well, I think, is quite interesting for Noel Meadley. What are your thinking with this Irish Grand National? This looks a good renewal, full of sort of unexposed horses.
Yeah, I'm being more prudent, Maddie. I'm going more towards ahead of the market. I think Run Wild Fred was earmarked for this race before the Cheltenham Festival. They had him in the Tim Muir. They were looking at that, but the Jigginstown team decided to go towards the Irish National, which is such a valuable race compared to the handicaps at Cheltenham. I think he is a major player, and I'm just fascinated by this Robin DiCarlo. Rachel Blackmore running for William Mullins, horse's first run in 547 days. And you know, we're always, as journalists and writers, we're always looking for stories. And what a story it would be if William Mullins on an Irish National with a horse who hadn't been sighted for so long with Rachel Blackmore riding. So they'd be my two against the field.
Yeah, indeed. She wouldn't be the first woman to win the race, of course, but Rachel Blackmore in amazing form, and Robin DiCarlo certainly an interesting one. Jimmy, who are you coming down on?
Well, there's so many I like in this. I mean, it's just so competitive. But I do agree with Lee. I think Run Wild Fred, of the main protagonists, is the most interesting. Not going to the festival, despite, you know, he would have had a really good mark had he run at Cheltenham, and being safe for this. He had some really good hurdle form last season as well. I think he could be interesting off only 10 stone 11. And a couple more at bigger prices. The mare, Moy Henner, she was a bit of an eye catcher when she ran at Cheltenham a couple of weeks ago. Flew up the hill. I think this test of stamina will really suit her. And another one I quite like, FitzHenry. Looks like he might have been laid out for this as well. So he could run well at a decent price.
Yeah, I like Moy Henner too. She's a real strong stayer, isn't she? She's got some good form in these marathon handicaps. Now, I'm going to circle back because there's actually something that I forgot to mention. That's my fault. But Lee, we were going to talk about syndicates because there's been some emerging syndicates recently that have captured sort of the social media people. And the BHA as well sort of came out with a statement midweek, didn't they? Tell us more.
Yeah, so the BHA last week, as you say, Maddie, put out a statement basically for strengthened regulation of syndicates and racing clubs. And I think there is a consensus, and there certainly should be a consensus, that the way forward for British racing in terms of ownership has to be with syndicates and with group ownership and with racing clubs. Two reasons for that. A lot of the major owners in the sport have either died or they are very old and they're not being replaced. But also, I think it would be a very refreshing thing for the sport if more big races were owned by groups of owners. I think it's very difficult if you're watching horse racing on television and you see a big race winner and it's owned by Sheikh Mohammed or another sheikh or another wealthy millionaire. I think it's very hard to connect. Whereas if you have a model that is more akin to the one they have in Australia, where you watch, and I've said this so many times, you watch their big races on Sky Sports Racing of a Saturday morning, you know, watch them, this weekend and next weekend at Randwick with the championships. You will see big race winners, and the camera will immediately pan to a group of owners celebrating. And they tend to be Australians, who are people who are in a syndicate of 10, 20, 30 people. And you will see stories of these people who will do, often they'll do completely normal jobs. They'll be the plumber, the postman, the janitor. They do jobs that real people do. And I think if people see people winning big races and they can identify with them, they are far more likely to think that could be me. And they'll get together with a group of mates and they'll buy a horse and they'll race that horse. That has to be the future. But for that to be the case, there has to be proper policing and regulation of syndicates and racing clubs so that people have confidence to go into them and they know they're not going to get fleeced. And the BHA is therefore right to do that. There were stories, of course, in the last week or so about a high-profile syndicate or a high-profile racing club, which is what it is, this racehorse club that has two horses in the Grand National. And there were questions raised about the numbers relating to that and how much profit the business was set to take. And I think they've answered some of those questions and they needed to. So I think timely what the BHA has done. And I think it is extremely important that the sport can attract more owners and more syndicate owners, because very, very few people have the financial wherewithal to buy a horse outright, let alone to have that horse in training for a year.
Yes, and you mentioned the Grand National there, that syndicate having potentially two runners in that race. Now, the Aintree Grand National Festival gets underway on Thursday, of course, the three-day meeting, and we're going to have a look at that in just a moment's time.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Now we're going to talk about Aintree next. Brilliant meeting, isn't it? Almost just as good as Cheltenham, and I've been getting excited for it this morning looking through the cards. It gets underway on Thursday, and I'm going to ask the guys for their best bet of the whole festival. Now, Lee, before we went on air, I was chatting away and you joined the call and you seemed to suss who I was talking about, and it was the horse that you came to come as your number one fancy for the meeting. Tell us who it is. I'll let you go for this one.
Okay, but I should say, Maddie, it is far more important that the horse is your number one fancy for the meeting than my number one fancy for the meeting, because you'd be a far better judge than I would be. Yeah, Destrier in the Red Rum Handicap Chase on Thursday. It's a race that I've actually had very little luck in the past. It's a bit like the Grand Annual, or it's a bit like the Wokingham Handicap with jumps, really, because around Aintree they go flat out from start to finish. The first fence is taken on the side of the course. There's seldom room to breathe. But Destrier is a horse who's plummeted down the weights in recent runs. I think mainly because he's been racing on ground that doesn't suit him, because that's been the only ground that's been available to him. But I think they'll have had this race in the back of their minds. He ran a good race behind Ornua in the Maghull as a novice chaser. So he's very well weighted now. And I think he could be very dangerous off a mark of 1.36. Although the bookmakers have noticed, and he's not a huge price for the contest.
Yeah, I think 8-1's the best you can get, Graham. What price will me and Lee be looking for?
Yeah, you'd be getting about 8-1 on that one. For my best bet, I'm going to go to the Betway Bowl. Now, this is 3 miles, one in front of them, of course, and the big one running in this is not running in the Irish Grand National is Tiger Roll. That's currently a 4-1 shot. Head of the Markets, Clandys Oboe, a 2-1. Native River, 3-1. Waiting Patiently, 7-2. But I'm going to go with Clondalk Castle here. I think this is the value. I was impressed with it last time out at Kempton, and I think this could go in at a decent price. It's a 7-1 shot. So that's my best bet of the Aintree Festival in that bowl chase. It is, of course, one of the early races. It's a 2:50 race on the Thursday, and it is Clondalk Castle for me.
Thanks very much, Graham. And you, Jimmy, who do you like most at Aintree this week?
Well, the horse who is going to be my nap at Cheltenham was Time Hill, so I'm not going to desert him. He's set to run in the Stayers Hurdle on the Saturday. He won't, of course, have Richard Johnson anymore, but he has had other jockeys ride him in the past. Tom O'Brien won on him when he made his debut a couple of years back. So I think Time Hill comes here nice and fresh. He's got a great chance in that race. I also just mentioned I like two in the Topham as well. Caribbean boy who was a real eye catcher at the Cheltenham Festival when he finished seventh in the plate, staying on really strongly. I think he could be interesting on this flatter track. And also an Irish raider, Snugsborough Hall, who tends to come alive in the spring. He could be interesting in the top and off the mark of 1-4-3. So those two could be quite interesting on the Friday.
Brilliant. And I am going to give a shameless plug here to my column because I've had 6 selections and that will be in the Weekender this week. So if you fancy having a look at who I like, you have to go there. Now, let's talk about the big one now, Tiger Roll. As Graham mentioned, he's not running in the Grand National to get that historic third victory. He's going to run in the Betway Bowl instead. But we still have a wonderful race left. Cloth Cap is a very strong fancy for many people. But at the current stage, there are 68 horses left in. Among them, Nicky Henderson's took the likes of Beware the Bear, Pim and Santini, notably the top weight, out. And Ami Dubois is now number 40 on our lists, Lee.
Yeah, so assuming I've done my counting right here, Maddie, I've got Ami Dubois as number 40. But again, that needs to be qualified by saying that there are 3 horses weighted on 10 stone 2, Double Shuffle, Ami Dubois and Black Lion. And on the race cards, they'll appear as 39, 40 and 41. But what will have to happen now is Martin Greenwood, the handicapper, we'll have to reassess those 3 horses and try to put them in an order of 39, 40 and 41, which is crucial because obviously the horse who's number 41, if the 40 above him run in the race, that horse wouldn't get in the Grand National. So they'll be reassessed on what they've done since the weights came out to try and give some sort of clarity as to which order they should go in. And below them as well, so Some Neck is number 42, Secret of Previous 43. At the moment, they wouldn't get in the race, two of the most fancied horses. But yeah, so we're one step nearer, Maddie, to the world's greatest horse race.
We are, and Secret of Previous, I mean, he'd be a big, big fancy for a lot of people, so that's definitely notable. Lee, who is your eye drawn to at this stage?
Well, listen, this is boring, and this will sound like I'm crying, but I backed Cloth Cap at 20s when the weights came out. So I'm clinging to that he will run in the race, but I fear it will be like my Cheltenham Festival. I went to the festival with lots of horses on decent prices, and they generally didn't win. But I do think he looks to have as big a chance as you can have in the Grand National. A stone well in, so impressive at Newbury and Kelso. I've interviewed Trevor Hemmings for Saturday's Racing Post, and he's obviously very excited, although he can't get over for the race this year due to COVID. He's over in the Isle of Man and travel's not easy over there at the moment. But yeah, I think he's got a fantastic chance. Become a little bit concerned with people talking about how he can jump to the left and how it beaches. That can be a problem, but the ground looks to be coming in his favour. It seems very unlikely to have anything slower than Good to Soft. He gets into a wonderful rhythm, which is what you need at Aintree. Tom Scudamore's got a fantastic record over the fences. John Joe seems to be pretty confident, so I think he deserves to be favourite. Clearly, he's a very short price. It's the Grand National, but remember Tiger Roll was sent off at similar odds a couple of years ago, so I don't think you're going to get massively more than the 4-1 that you can get now. But against him, going to back to a few more. I think Milan Native will be interesting. He comes back to form, and they thought he'd run a bigger race than he did in the Ultima. And I think Jiggingstown viewed him as their main national hope before the Cheltenham Festival. I could see him coming back. I like Discorama. I like Minella Times, and I think the Storyteller could be interesting too. A horse who's got Grade 1 form, had a nice prep run in the Stayers Hurdle, and if he stays, I think he would have a decent chance as well. But Cloth Cap, very much my number one hope.
Well, you're onto a great bet there with your 20s. I mean, he could go off very, very short indeed, couldn't he, Graham? Cloth Cap, I mean, he just looks to have everything in his favour. I know it's a national, but the race does seem more straightforward than it has been before.
Yeah, absolutely. We discussed after Kelso, we went into 6-1 favourite, and we were talking back then whether that would be value or not. It's very much value. I wouldn't mind having the 20-1 that Lee has, but 7-2 favourite now, Claude Capborough Saint into 8-1. Kindleye Candy's my fancy for the race. I like this when the weights came out. I thought I had the perfect prep in the Beecher. Tom Lacey has campaigned all year towards this. That's an 11-1 job. Significant market move for Manila Times over the last week or so for Henry de Bromhead. 50-1 into 12-1. I think Rachel Blackmore will be on board Manila Times, and I believe that's why that one has been so popular. I think it's going to get in. Maybe perhaps Lee can just clarify that one for me, because I think it was number 41 on the list, but it should get in. But there's been a huge market move for Manila Times that is in from 50-1 into 12-1.
Manila Times is definitely guaranteed a run. The minute Manila Times is 36, he's one of three horses, four on 10-3, so he's definitely in there.
There you go. Thanks very much, Lee. Very handy having all those details close to you. I quite like a horse. I'm not sure he's necessarily the best handicapped horse in the race, but I've always thought Talk Is Cheap would love this race. He's a good jumper, tends to travel well. And when he won that Bet365 Gold Cup a couple of years ago, I just loved the way he did it. He's rated 155 now, so he's got plenty of ability. But I think he's a really interesting one at a big price. I think he's around 66-1 for Alan King, who doesn't actually love this race. So I think it's interesting that he's running that horse there. Jimmy, you've got connections to the Alan King yard, but I can imagine you'll be looking elsewhere than Talk Is Cheap.
It's been a while since we've seen him at his best. But I mean, I do know that the yard have always felt he might be a kind of national type on decent ground, and the ground's coming right for him. But I'm just with all of you. I just think the favourite has just got such a good chance. It's almost too good to be true, really, with the ground coming right. I think if you haven't backed him yet, probably wait until the morning of the race. You might get a semblance of value then. He is very short now. Lots of the main protagonists have good chances. I think if you're looking for an outsider, I noticed Nicky Henderson's taken quite a few of his out, but he's kept OK Corral in. I was going to back OK Corral for last year's national, which of course never took place. So I have to go in again. He really was just a starting point when he pulled up at Cheltenham last time. He hadn't run for quite a while, but he jumped well enough for much of the way. And if you go back to some of his previous form, it is really quite good. And he's... he's very lightly raced for his age. Derek O'Connor, who's won a number four, I think has been booked. So he's still quite interesting at big odds, OK Corral.
OK, nice one. Thanks very much for that insight, Jimmy. That's all we have time for today. As I said at the top of the show, I hope you're all having a wonderful Easter. Hopefully we've picked out some good winners for you and covered some of the big talking points as well. We'll see you again soon.